Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you in the Lord's house this morning. And I'd like to welcome any visitors that may be with us this morning and hope that you'll come back and join us again. At this time, Patrick, do you have any announcements for us?
Good morning. Next Sunday, the youth will be headed to Florence. It's in the bulletin at 2:15 to go visit Miss Connie Osborne. We're going to go and sing some songs to her and visit with her. So if it's open to any adults and all the youth, let's take a big group up to Florence next Sunday. We'll leave here at 2:15 and we'll get there around 3 and we'll visit and then head back this way after a while. The next thing I have is our May 13th through the 15th is our retreat. I told you last week that it's a combined retreat because our fall retreat was canceled because of the flood. Applications are in the back. If you need one, we're going to have two retreats the same weekend. So we're going to have a retreat for age 6 through 5th grade. They'll be doing their thing, and then 6th grade and up will be doing their thing. So we need a lot of volunteers, okay? We're going to need a lot. So if you want to help out, just volunteer your time that weekend. See me. I'll sign you up doing something. So, again, volunteers and moms and dads, get these things turned in so we can plan the food and get the T-shirts ordered correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. So if any of y'all are interested, they need at least half the church to go down there and help that weekend. They'd be glad to have you. At this time, I have a thank you note I'd like to read from Garrett Bagnell, and it's to the hospitality ladies. And it says, "A heartfelt thank you for the comfort you have given and the understanding you have shown during this difficult time. Your thoughtfulness makes a real difference. Thanks so much for the prayers, support, and everything involved with the lunch after the funeral. Love, Garrett." And I'd also like to mention this morning the flowers in our sanctuary, these beautiful flowers. And they are given in memory of Hunter, by his family, and we need to keep our arms around this family in the days to come. We need to keep calling them. We need to check on them and wrap our arms around them and let them know we love them. I do have one other announcement. Someone caught me in the hallway and told me a secret today. Somebody out here has a birthday. And I'm not going to wait on everybody to guess. I'm going to go ahead and tell you who it is. Miss Felicia Rutter, do you have a birthday today? You sure do. Okay. We want to wish you a happy birthday today. If there are no other announcements at this time, do we have any at this time? Oh, Dr. Blank wanted me to remind everybody our revival is coming up in a few short weeks, May the 22nd through the 25th, and Reverend Guy Sanders is going to be our speaker, and we need to start lifting him up in prayer right now that the Lord's going to give him what we need to hear at this time. If there are no other announcements at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be in your house today, Lord, and Father, we thank you for each other. We thank you for the support we provide for each other, Lord, as you've commanded us to. And Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and care to us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this building that we have to come and worship you in, Lord. And Father, I pray now that as Mr. Billy brings the message this morning, Lord, I pray that this message is what you would have for all of us to hear, Lord. And Father, I pray that we'll leave here different people. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the Lord's Day, and as a family of God, we're here with the purpose of worshiping our Lord. And so together we can again say, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, we're glad in it. Join with us in opening the service by singing the call to worship, "He is Lord," followed by 404, "The Solid Rock." Please stand with me as we worship in song. "He is Lord," together singing. Thank you. My hope is built on nothing less. Singing together. While you're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing today.
As Trey said, we certainly want to continue to remember the Moore family, the great-grandparents, the parents, the grandparents, and all the everybody else involved, and we just continue to hold y'all and wrap you in prayer and pray for God's comfort and grace to be upon you. The Bible says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of all the coastlands be glad. His lightnings light the worlds. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come before you this morning knowing that we're not worthy of your love, mercy, or grace. But yet you have allowed us to see another day, another Lord's Day, another day to come together as your body of believers to worship you not in our strength, but in your strength. And yet, Lord, we have come, as unworthy as we are, to fall at your feet and just say, Abba, Father. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, but your Spirit speaks when we cannot. But Lord, we do thank you that, in spite of our unworthiness, you have chosen to make worthy all who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And not just to be baptized into a new life, but to live in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit as we seek your face. And we petition you this morning to pour out your Spirit upon us, break our hearts, give us boldness, showing us your love, and again, just filling us in a way that we never thought possible. Bless your word this morning as it is proclaimed through song and preaching. And as always, we pray that everything said and done in this assembly will be done for you and for your worship only. For it is in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Please come forward and receive our offering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house, Lord. And Father, we thank you for all the gifts that you've given us and all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. And Father, I pray that as we give back, Lord, that Father, we'll give back generously. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
just before Pastor Griffith comes and shares the message of the morning. And while singing this number, we'll also dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship for the remaining of the service. We invite you to turn to number 532, Oh Happy Day That Fixed My Choice. Let us stand together and join in singing. Oh Happy Day, 532. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
We do need to pray for Amy. I found out her throat is hurting her this morning, and that would not affect my singing one iota, but it would her since she has such a beautiful voice. I'm going to ask you right now, we're going to go ahead and read our scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. I know you just sat down, but let's stand up again for our scripture reading, please. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering and bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, and is above all, and through all, and in you all. Thank you, and you may be seated. This is the third part of what's supposed to be a one sermon. And as I said last time, I'm glad when this happens sometimes. It takes a life of itself. It's the four guaranteed results of the resurrection, and I hate to say just four. There are many, but these are four that I picked that I think that are foundational, that every Christian, every church must know and must understand. And the first one, I've gone over this, the first one is to have saving faith in the Son of God. That is the difference. We just celebrated the resurrection. It is the validation of all that's ever been claimed about Christ, all that ever will be claimed. He is the Son of God, and all who put saving faith in Him can know that they know that they're blood-bought, born again, and bound for heaven, okay? The second one is to have sanctified freedom in the Spirit of God. And we've talked about this, and that is simply trusting the Lord to grow and then to get in a crisis situation, to allow Him to come into your life in a very special way, asking God's grace at that moment, at that time, to give you that enabling grace at the time that you need it. And I've experienced that, and I think many of you have as well. Now, I do not believe it's just a second grace. I don't believe that at all. I believe it can be the 30th grace. But we are talking about after salvation. Again, just a little reminder, you are sanctified and baptized at salvation. There's no question about that. You're baptized one time, and you're sanctified. But you can have that sanctifying grace throughout your life as you grow, but also that enabling grace as you need it to come and give it to Him and to trust Him. And He will give that because He promised it many times in the Scripture. People who were Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit anew. Nothing to do with baptism, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is to have Spirit-filled fellowship with the saints of God. Now that's what we talked about last time. If we're saved and sanctified, and you're a Christian and you are, then there's no reason in the world we cannot have unity of the Spirit. We cannot worship together as the same body of Christ, amen, to where we support each other and love each other. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit more this morning. Because the fourth and final thing is this. If we have these first three, then we can have single-minded service for God. Single-minded faithfulness in the service of God. Listen. We can be saved, sanctified, but if we're not serving, we're just going to sit, soak, and sour. That's just the way it is. We can have all these things, but if we're not serving God, if we're not serving Him, then we are out of the will of God. Then we're dead where we stand. And a church just wouldn't know it. But I want to say this. I do not believe that is us unless we allow it to happen. And Satan is always trying to get his foot in the door to cause division in a church. He's always doing that. It doesn't take long. If we allow him to get his foot in the door, he can cause havoc. And many churches that were going strong allowed this to happen. The church at Laodicea is a good example. Had lots of wonderful things going on, and yet Jesus said, "You make me want to throw up," to put it bluntly. That's what it says. "You make me sick. You make me want to spit you out of my mouth." And so how do we as a church not allow this to happen? Because we have to be aware of this. And the first thing comes out of chapter 4, verse 3, and that is to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now listen, not just unity, but in the bond of peace. And that means, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you, use my gifts, talents, and abilities within the body of Christ. I want to serve you to the best of my ability as you give me grace. But I want to do everything I can to bring peace. You know, meaning, everybody might not agree with me all the time. That happens, you know that? Everybody won't agree with you all the time. And what you're saying is, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to do everything I can to bring peace as I serve. And that means even though I might not agree, we can look at the commonalities that we have, the common denominators that we have, and we can focus on those because we don't all agree on everything as we serve the Lord, right? I read something in Reader's Digest, and I saw, you know, when I read things, I see sermon illustrations all the time. But I love this one. The big sequoia trees in California. Lots of wind out in Northern California. Huge, tall trees. Never been out there. Many of you have. You've seen them. And what they said is that one tree by itself would easily be blown over with not much of a windstorm. But they grow in groves. And the root systems do not go deep. You'd think they'd go 20 feet down, wouldn't you? 30, 50 feet. They grow out towards each other. And they interlock like this. And from what Reader's Digest said, and I'll take them at their word because it's Reader's Digest, right? It would take a biblical storm. Now, you might blow the tops off. You know, you might have limbs come off, but you'll not turn those trunks over because they're interlocked, and there's so many interlocked together with their root system, it won't fall over. They hold each other up. Can you see where I'm going with that? That's exactly the way the body of Christ is. By God's Holy Spirit, we hold each other up in the bond of peace. When we used to get a newspaper, the only comic strip I read was Peanuts, Charlie Brown. You know, sometimes the old Christmas shows I still like to watch them. I've watched them since I was a kid, and Ann Grace can't believe they were back then. Back in those days, we had television, and I actually saw Charlie Brown and all that. But Linus was sitting on the couch like this, you know, the brother. Lucy comes in and plops down beside him and says, "Change the channel." He said, "What makes you think you can come in here and just take over?" And she said, "You see these five fingers? Independently, they don't do very much, but you put them together in a unit like this, and it is something to behold." And he said, "What channel do you want?" And after he switched it, he looked at his hands and said, "Why can't you fellas organize like that?" But you know, when we're together like this, folks, when we want to serve the Lord because we're saved and we're spirit-filled and we love each other, we come together as a community, we're going to hold each other up, we're going to do this. No matter what happens in the body of Christ, we're going to do this. And so the Bible says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The second thing comes out of verse 12, equipping the saints. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying, building up, equipping, building up. My little definition has always been of equipping the saints means give them the equipment to do what they need to do. And I think we do that. It certainly involves the pulpit on preaching and teaching, but certainly not just the leadership. Every Sunday school teacher is an equipper. Studying and preaching and teaching the Word of God and giving people the tools they need to do what they need to do. I think another prime example is men's 33 men. I think that's a prime example of giving young men, not just young men, but giving men the tools that they need in a good marriage, what they need to do to be a good husband, to be a good father. That is equipping. That is taking biblical principles and applying them directly. I think also equipping the older ladies teaching the young adults and the young adults teaching the teens. The men, older men, the younger men teaching the teen boys. That's the way it works. That is equipping. Telling people your experiences. You know, I had one, when I was new in the ministry, I had somebody tell me, "Well, preacher, you just don't know how it is." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, yeah, I do. It's the same package with a different wrapping." Yeah, you know, same experiences. You know, the Lord can even take bad choices and use it for His glory if you're willing to give it to Him. You know that? To help someone else. And so they say, "Patrick, you don't know how it is." Patrick said, "Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do." I don't know how much you can tell them, but that's beside the point. But you equip the saints to have an equipping ministry. I remember during the Iraq War, the first Gulf War, I'm not going to say which seminary did this, except that it was in Dallas. A number of books came out of that seminary on prophecy. Now, I want you to hear me out before you throw a book at me. Three prominent professors actually wrote books on this, sold lots of books. And in essence, they were setting up pretty much a date when Saddam Hussein went towards Kuwait, and then it became Operation Shield to Operation Desert Storm. Is that right? It went from Shield to Desert Storm, if I remember correctly. And basically, they were using this, saying that they're trying to teach people Jesus is coming soon. Now, again, let me finish. But a lot of what they said did not happen. You could go on Amazon.com. No, you won't find it on Amazon.com. On some other books, I saw one. That book was being sold for 50 cents. It might have been $29 at the time. That's not equipping the saints. I have a problem with prophecy. Again, let me talk. I have a problem when you take the Bible, in a newspaper and do this. Now, we are to watch the times. The Bible says that we are to watch the times. But I remember one prophecy person on television said that the things that went in, the stingers and all these bees that went in, all the hornets, that's what I'm trying to think of, the hornets that went into that are going to come into Israel in the biblical prophecy. He said, that's the hornet jets. That's the hornet jets with the stinger missiles. Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. That's really edifying the saints, isn't it? I'm not talking about like Dr. Blank teaching through Revelation, doing a book study, and making biblical interpretation. You need to come out and be blessed by that. I'm not talking about going through a book of the Bible and teaching. I think one of the biggest signs we've had in our time was Israel becoming a nation in 1948. That was huge. But to take all these other things and make these correlations, that does not equip the saints. I want you to know something, and I mean this. I've never known of anybody who majored in prophecy that was that deep. How about that? When they major on prophecy and they see all this and the newspaper, oh, yeah. They don't last long, folks. They just don't. Yes, it's good to talk about prophecy. It's more important to talk about a holy life. And everything else is going to work out, you know. But people get excited about this. And I'm not against teaching and preaching prophecy. I am against the way it's done sometimes and make these improper correlations that aren't there. It's not good hermeneutics. That means not good Bible interpretation. Not good preaching. It's not good teaching. But it does sell books, okay? I did a series one time on just all the false prophecies that have happened since the church began. And they were sure, absolutely certain. Harold Campy, I don't know if some of you have heard him. He used to be on BBN and some of these other stations. He's dead now, died last year if I remember correctly, but he was the one who set a date. And he raised millions of dollars. People would quit their jobs. This was just a few years ago, quit their jobs. And they bought billboards and radio time and TV time and hired people to go out and say the time is at hand. Jesus is coming, whatever date it was. Whatever date it was, Jesus is coming. And, of course, it didn't happen, and he was discredited. When I say he died soon thereafter, I'm not making a correlation on that, but I'm saying those people, they just kind of lose all their credibility, to say the least. The Bible makes it very clear we're not to set dates. We're not even to major on prophecy. But we are to look at the times. Yes, we are. Wars, rumors of wars, yeah. Persecutions, yeah. More people are dying today for their Christian faith than all history combined. Did you know that? That's a fact. More are being martyred today for their faith worldwide than everybody else combined. You think about that. And I'm telling you, folks, it's going to happen here. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming soon? But that doesn't mean we're not going to be persecuted. I believe, oh, gracious me, we could get into all kinds of stuff today about this. I've often said, I believe this is, I think, what my grandchildren might face or my children. I told somebody, I believe that if I don't marry a gay couple, that's going to be considered a hate crime because I'm an ordained minister. It's going to come to that. It's going to come that if I don't want a transgender somebody to go in somebody's bathroom, that's going to be considered a hate crime. Boy, I'm really meddling now, aren't I? But that's where we are. You know, but we are to equip the saints on what is right and what is wrong. And right doesn't change, and wrong doesn't change when it comes to the Bible. I don't care what the politics say or the politicians say. Now, let me make this clear. I'm not talking about Dr. Blank's revelation study going through prophecy, okay? Did I say that? You know, that's not what I'm talking about at all. And so we are to endeavor to keep the unity. We are to equip the saints. And the third thing is we are to encourage the discouraged. If we're to grow, if we're to serve, people do get discouraged. Sometimes we set standards that aren't realistic and we get discouraged. I used to think that every time I preach, people are going to flock in the door. That didn't happen. And I used to think every time I preach, the altar would be full. That didn't happen either. Then you realize, I'm not the one who saves. I'm not the one who makes them come down. It's the Holy Spirit. But 1 Thessalonians 3:2 says this, and Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, he's coming to establish you and encourage you concerning the faith. That's 1 Thessalonians 3:2. I'm going to turn to a couple of here. Our fellow laborer in the gospel to establish you and encourage you concerning the faith. Not your numbers necessarily, but to encourage you where you are in your faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It is so easy to get discouraged, you can say, I'm through. You done that? Ever felt like it? I have before. Oh, I can't. Oh, this thing of being a Christian. Then you think, what's the alternative? You know? If I don't walk with Jesus, what's the alternative? And that's when it's amazing how God sends somebody alongside me right at that time. It's amazing. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's just somebody out of the blue I didn't expect. And that's what makes it so special, by the way. When somebody just comes alongside you and maybe hug your neck, shake your hand, whatever. And just to encourage you out of nowhere. And that's happened to me about every time. The next verse is this, Hebrews 10:25. This is the one people think the preachers use just to make a guilt trip upon people. In fact, I'm going to ask you to turn to this one, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. And that's where the preacher, oh, be in church. Well, now I'm preaching to the choir, am I not? Because you're here, okay? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together so that you can hear good preaching. Is that what it says? Right? But exhort one another. You could say, exhorting and edifying and encouraging are kind of the same thing. Exhort one another so much as you see what? The day approaching, which is the return of Jesus Christ. It's coming soon. Either by death or rapture. Right? And so we come together not for good preaching or musicians or music and these types of things, though that is encouraging, I pray, but you come together to exhort one another. And did you know your presence here encourages someone besides me? It certainly encourages me, but your presence here right now because you're missed. To exhort one another, to encourage each other as you see that day approaching. Again, our group is like this, right? To hold each other up, and I think of Barnabas. His name means the encourager. And that's what we should all be. And just going up to somebody and saying, good morning. I notice some of our men now are meeting the most beautiful ladies in the world as they're trying to come in the side door. Right, ladies? Because they're having a hard time. And I know it encourages those ladies. I'm not just pointing at these, by the way. I know they are beautiful. I'm not encouraging this. I'm just saying it not only encourages the ladies, but the ladies encourage them. When you're being a blessing, you become blessed. That's just the way it is. That's the way the Christian thing works. When you are a blessing, then you'll feel blessed to someone else. Then quickly, there's a fourth thing. And this is the last one, okay? Not only are we to equip the saints and encourage the saints, but we are to, here's the E word, evangelize the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Now you can turn, but there's several I'm going to read here. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, I in acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the day of accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So not only do we evangelize the lost, but we evangelize with urgency. Because, as we've all been reminded of all too recently, life is short, and Jesus is coming. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, it's simply saying this, in the latter days, as we're serving the Lord, there are going to be people who don't want to hear about evangelism. They want to hear good stories. They want to hear how good they are. Now, as Christians, we're blessed by God's grace, are we not? But we're not good in and of ourselves. And God put us here to glorify Him, and the only way to do that is to be reaching out to a lost and dying world as a unit. Community outreach is not a bad word. World evangelization, faith promise plan is not a bad word. Okay? But I'm going to tell you this. We should never have to beg anybody to come to church. Now, can I give you my humble but accurate opinion on something? Where's Ashley? My humble but accurate opinion is when Ashley was a teen, no way in God's green creation I would ever taken her out with a youth group and put her in a neighborhood I didn't know and say, go knock on doors. Ain't going to happen. And I pray she didn't do her daughters like that. Times have changed, folks. Now, let me say this. I know people, I've read books that say any elevator you get in, you witness. I don't. How about that? Keep a pocket full of tracts. Anybody you see, give them a tract and give them the Romans Road to Salvation. Okay, you heard that? I think the biblical thing is in your sphere of influence. Okay? In your sphere of influence, who you come around. Now, the Lord might tell you to go knock on that door. And you might not know that person. You go. But like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, God didn't say go to every church you see around here. He said go to that man. And Philip had to run him down. But God was already working in the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch to where he was already reading the scriptures. And Philip said, do you understand what it's saying? He said, how can I? No one has explained it to me. And the Bible says, and Philip sat down and preached to him Jesus. Times have changed. Now, I know the Bible hasn't changed. But just going out cold turkey, when you don't really feel the leading of the Lord, and knocking on doors. Patrick, our youth group's not going to do that. I don't know if we've ever done it, but I don't want to do it now. When you don't know the people. You know, you just don't know. Times have changed. Now, when you feel led and you pray about it, then that's what you do. You see what I'm saying on this? if we're excited about the Lord, we're going to be excited about our church. And if we're excited about what the Lord is doing in our church, then we're going to tell people about Jesus. You won't be able to stop us. We don't mind getting involved in world evangelization and in the missions program and revival. And we don't mind inviting people to church because that's what God wants us to do. But it should never be out of a pharisaical burden or obligation to say, you know what? I got to do it because that's what the preacher says we got to do. I do not think that's biblical. And I'm sorry, but I'm not wrong. How about that? We do have momentum going. I think Dr. Crow, Dr. Walls, God bless them, and I believe we got momentum going. And I pray to some small degree, with me, it's going to continue. We'll know in about 15 minutes, won't we? But I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry. But to be excited about what's happening in the church, to be excited about it. To be excited, and I am excited, folks. If you don't know it, I am excited. I think we're doing a lot of things right. Remember, I preached on contentment not long ago on Sunday night. I'm not satisfied with the husband I am. I'm not satisfied with the father I am. I'm not satisfied with the grandfather I am. I'm not satisfied with the preacher I am. But I'm content with my wife. I'm content with my children, with my grandchildren. I'm content with the ministry. I'm content. You understand what I'm saying here? And I believe that's when we can rejoice in where we are and who we are and what God is calling us to do. And when we do that with a saving faith, a sanctified freedom, a spirit-filled fellowship, and a single-minded service, God's going to do some great work in this church. And I think God is doing something great in this church. Do you agree with me? Father, I just pray right now that you would take your Holy Spirit and pour down upon us and challenge us, Lord. Bring comfort, bring challenge as we commit it to you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to assume we're going into the local church conference. Okay. All right. I'm going to give this over to Skip, our local church conference. Lisa and I are going to head for the border. Lord bless y'all.
I'd like to call this conference to order. Recognize our conference secretary, Dr. George Green, as being our recording secretary. And state the purpose of today's conference is twofold. One, voting on to extend an invitation to Reverend Billy Griffith to accept a role as our full-time pastor here. The ballot will be simple. You'll either check yes or no. The second part of the conference today is to establish the tenure for the initial call. The search committee and the board of stewards on the ballot have recommended a two-year tender. When we get to that point after the ushers hand the ballots out, that part of the conference is open for discussion, and I will give you ample opportunity for that at that time. At this time, I'd like to ask the ushers to please come forward so they can pass out the ballots. Voting at church conferences are, the requirements are that you be 18 years of age and a member of the church, an active member. So as the ushers come by, they'll give you a ballot. Once everyone's received their ballot, we'll go over it. Looks like the ushers are through handing out the ballots. You'll see on the first part, simple question, vote yes if you approve asking Reverend Billy Griffiths to serve as pastor of Turnbull Southern Methodist Church. Vote no if you don't. Please check either yes or no. As I stated earlier, the recommendation from the search committee and the board of stewards for the initial call was for a two-year tenure. It says vote yes if you approve, no if you don't. That item is open for congregational discussion, if there is any. So at this time, the floor is open for any discussion on tenure. Hearing none, I'll ask that you please vote yes or no for the two-year tenure. After you've got through voting, if you would pass those back to the end of the aisle, and the ushers will come along and pick them up. I will tell you that a lot of times when we have, you know, our conference and we have a vote, a lot of times the congregation doesn't find out that information until they either during the week. But today we're going to do it a little differently. We're going to count the ballots right now. Reverend Blank's going to come and lead you into the last song, and we'll report back to the congregation what the vote is before you leave. Okay? Okay. If everyone has voted, we'll be right back with you.
Right, Blank?
Sure. We're going to allow you to remain seated. This could take a while, hopefully not too long. But let's join together in singing 326, Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And in the midst of the message that Billy so challengingly shared, as we sing this number, certainly we'd open the altar for those who may feel they want to come, and the Lord's maybe speaking about something to your own personal life, and you'd like to come and just personally here at the altar, share it with the Lord. You're invited to do so. Let's join together, number 326. You may remain seated, please, as we sing together. Certainly, as we approach our revival time, that song should become a burden of our hearts. There are people out there that are far from home spiritually. We need to invite them at that point in time. We'll stay a little longer till they come back in. Is there a favorite someone would like in the audience that maybe we never pick? Hopefully, we'll be able to sing it. A favorite? Now, Mary Ruth, I know what yours is going to be. All right, Mary Ruth, come on. 473. 473. That's a little Sunday night joke with us at that point. Anytime Mary Ruth's hand goes up, We know it's going to be 473, but it's a great song indeed. Number 473, Victory in Jesus. Sing together. And by the way, that is an Only Mary Ruth's favorite. It's our young people's as well. It's a great song, Victory in Jesus. Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. We had 122 people votes cast today. We had a 98 percentile in favor of extending an invitation to Reverend Griffith to come and be our pastor, along with the 10-year passing under the same percentage. There being no other business for this particular conference, I call it to a close.
We praise the Lord for that. Joining together, let us stand together as we sing the choral benediction, Because He Lives. Live, just have a word of prayer together with me, asking God to bless. We praise the Lord for His leadership in the congregation. We believe at this point in time, Billy is God's choice for our church. And let's work together and let's seek God's blessing as we have years together in great service for God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the leadership You've given in the congregation in qualifying, in certifying the call of Brother Billy as our pastor and Lisa's pastor's wife. I pray Your blessing upon his ministry here. We pray, Lord, that we will bond together in love and unity to work with him, to encourage him. And again, we pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint him with powerful messages to bless our hearts. But more than this, Lord, that from the challenge of Your word, we not only will be blessed, but will be a blessing to others. Meet every person's need at this time. And once again, we continue to pray for the Moore family and how You're blessing with strength today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, church, and you are dismissed.